kick off each hour of Thy Will Be Done pledge drive, we've asked the Catholic schools in the Archdiocese to say a prayer.
Hi, my name is Molly Cowan. I attend St. Jude the Apostle Catholic School, and I am in the 8th grade. The thing I love most about my school are the numerous opportunities I get to grow in my Catholic faith. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Angel of God, my guardian dear, to whom God's love commits me here, ever this day be at my side, to lay and guard, to rule and guide. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Listen to AM 1160, The Quest.
Thank you, Molly from St. Jude. We appreciate that on The Quest. I'm Dave Savage, the production and programming manager here. And you're thinking, wait a minute, you're not Father Ricardo. No, I'm not. Father Ricardo and Christ is the Answer will be back on Friday. But in the meantime, tomorrow during our pledge drive, 11 a.m., we're going to have Father John Ricardo on live and local right here on The Quest for the pledge drive. So you'll want to check that out. I want to make sure. Well, first of all, why don't I introduce our guests for this morning, for this first hour? I'm just going to say Tony UV. Okay, we good with that?
That sounds good. Okay. Sounds good to me.
What your name is?
Tony UC de Velez, but Tony UV is UV. Okay, I get that all the time.
Thank you, Tony, for coming here this morning. And Father Kevin Peake, good morning.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Excellent, excellent. I want to make sure you know we have the Chick-fil-A biscuits and over there. The Chick-fil-A over
thank
on
you,
Elk
Chick-fil-A.
Road.
Yeah. Yes, I have heard. Yes,
it's the one over on Alpharetta Highway and Holcomb Bridge Road. We thank them very much.
Please
for their
support them. Amen.
I appreciate that, as we all do. So this morning, gentlemen, we are going to be talking about, from what I understand, hospital ministry.
Yes.
Be one of the topics we're talking about.
We're going to talk a lot of stuff. I think we're going to open up with that. It's a pleasure to have, first of all, it's a pleasure to be here, Dave, and it's a pleasure to be here with Father, you know, Kevin Peake. I've known the Peake family. I'm a native of Atlanta, as many may or may not know, and Father Kevin Peake has been a prison and army chaplain for the Archdiocese of Atlanta for the longest time, and most people don't know this, but he's been a major crusader for getting the Blessed Sacrament in the Atlanta Hartsfield Airport. Mm-hmm. So if you are traveling through Atlanta Hartsfield International and you have some time, you know, please visit the Blessed Sacrament there. Spend 5 minutes, 50 minutes, it depends on your layover, and you'll have a transformative flying experience for sure. But Kevin, Father Kevin Peake, welcome here to The Quest. It's great to have you.
Thank you. Yeah, it's and the chapel, a lot of people get confused. It is in the F terminal, which is the dedicated international terminal. However, anytime you're flying, you can get out to the F terminal. In fact, little known secret, we'll give us a little free chicken here this morning to our listeners. If you're not checking a bag, go in and out of F, the international concourse, because it's a lot easier and a lot quicker and a lot less traffic.
That's a pro move right there for all of our listeners. That's a pro move. But today we're talking about, you know, the whole theme for this season's pledge drive is Thy Will Be Done. And those are some beautiful words. We're going to, in this hour, really talk about, we're going to first open up with the topic of hospital ministry. And, you know, we'll tap into Father Peake's experience in that area. But before we do that, I want to be able to throw out the number that is related to the pledge drive. Speaking of Thy Will Be Done, first off, we want God's will as it relates to this program, the station. We appreciate Molly with the opening prayer. That was beautiful. She is the future of our church, of our community, along with her friends and colleagues, and shout out to her parents for doing a great job of bringing her up in the faith. Amen. So we appreciate that. It's important that we lay the foundation of what is, you know, properly being catechized in the faith. And this radio station that we find ourselves in right now is bringing the cavalry, right? We're trying to bring disciples closer to Christ. That is the mission. And the number to be able to support this mission is 470-508-1160. Again, 470-508-1160. You can tune in on the AM dial. You can download the app. Please, if you're listening right now, maybe send a text to a friend, send an email, tap somebody on the shoulder. Whatever you got to do so they can tune in. There's going to be a lot of great programming today. But again, 470-508 1160. You can be a corporate sponsor. You can be an individual sponsor for good Catholic radio. This is fortifying all of us, whether you're, you know, a layperson or not, to be able to come closer to God, understand His word, and understand His will for us, which is really the theme for this hour. So welcome, Father Peake. Let's dive into hospital ministry and reconcile that to thy will be done in terms of what that word means. And I had a chance to chat with you a little bit before we got started here, and you had a really powerful, really kind of a dissection of our Lord's Prayer, right? You know, there's a lot of key parts that you were talking about. Why don't you share a little bit about some of the reflection of some of the things that you love about our Lord's Prayer?
Amen. Yeah, it's fundamental to any application of discussion about the will of God in our lives, whether it be, you know, hospitals and the sick or anything that people are involved in. It's fundamental to start with you know, where God's will is to be in our lives. And when you pray the Our Father, a lot of people look at it and they think about the second half and the importance of the words, you know, forgive me as I forgive others, right? I'm paraphrasing, of course. But I love the first half of the Our Father, where he speaks of hallowed be thy name, thy will be done, thy kingdom come, right? So you got the three thys there, and I may have gotten those out of order, right? But the three thys which refocus all of our attention and all of our purpose in life on God and on Him being the center of all things. And so, right in the there's those words, thy will be done. And to reorient every experience of our day in those words. I've got a friend of mine, he's got a sign up in his kitchen, and it says, thank you, Lord, that my will was not done today. Right? Yeah. And that's a tough statement. It's a tough idea to come on board with some days. But when we look at the spectrum, and I'm sure we're going to do this a little bit later, when we look at the spectrum of great men and women of God across the centuries, we see that, you know, their lives became what they are because of their complete commitment to the will of God, because thy will be done was so central to their lives. I mean, Mary herself, right? Behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, be it done unto me according to thy will, not my will. And of course, Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he's praying, you know, to be delivered from the cup of suffering, but not my will, but thy will be done, right? And so something that every Christian has to come on board with, every person who's pursuing this life needs to reorient and make that the central focus, thy will be done. And of course, we were also talking about the fact that we're in the season of Lent, and that's really what this season is about. It's about kind of shaking up our lives, relooking at them, and making sure that we haven't allowed our will to come back into play and encroach in our lives and our decisions, but rather to reorient it back to Christ.
Absolutely. And I'm going to, the word when you were saying, you know, a lot of the things that you were sharing, Father, was that came to my mind was transformative. And when you think of that phrase, thy will be done, and what we have the opportunity to do, right, as Christians, as Catholics, is to be able to allow His will to be done within our lives. And it's difficult, right? But it's a transformative experience that if we surrender, and a lot of people don't like that word because it sounds like we give up and we are just, you know, becoming like, mind controlled, right? But it's for those that have allowed God's presence to act within their lives and allow Him to be able to take the steering wheel as it relates to our daily lives, our jobs, our family lives, you know, our lives within our communities, even our individual lives, you know, how we conduct, you know, our thoughts, what we allow to enter into our thoughts. If we allow for God's presence to and will to reign within our hearts, it is absolutely transformative. And we're going to dive into some of those great biblical examples during this hour. But first, let's start off with the topic of hospital ministry. Now, I know this is an area that's near and dear and one of the areas that you've been focusing on, you know, for years. And as we all know listening, you know, today, we've all had family members that have come and gone from this world that have been very close to us. Some of them, you know, with you know, some serious ailments and illnesses, and some of them with not so much. But there's a point in everyone's life, right, where our natural abilities and our strengths that we have, our mental abilities and strength, will all go into a stage of a denouement, right? A stage where I think it's a poetic, where we have a chance to focus more on God's will for the next life that He has for us. And, you know, I wanted to be able to, have you open up, Father Peak, with some of your experiences in terms of how those in receiving hospital ministry or those volunteering, seeing God's will manifest, you know, with families and those that are patients in various hospices and hospitals, how God's will has been manifested through some of the ministries that you've seen and done firsthand.
Amen. Yeah, it's hospital work is remarkable because you really do see the spectrum of Christian response or human response even beyond that, because, you know, we do run into, you know, a lot of doctors and nurses or patients and family members who don't come from a Christian tradition, but we're there to minister to them as well and perhaps leverage that moment to open their eyes and hearts to a greater possibility or greater understanding of what the suffering of life is all about. But you see those who are that they come in and they are just completely overwhelmed. They're stunned even or shocked that this would happen to them. Perhaps they've been healthy all their life long and never even considered that this was a possibility. You have those who've been suddenly shooken up by tragedy or crisis in their life, perhaps an accident or whatnot. And then you have those who maybe a little bit more stoic. They kind of come and they're like, well, you know, it's part of life. You're born, you live on this earth, you struggle, you die, you know. And they're just kind of going through it, perhaps with no real sense of transformation, as you spoke earlier. And then you have those who come in and they're really looking. They want to know why is suffering a part of our lives? What does this mean, in my walk with God? Is it a judgment on me? Is it something that I need to learn? Is there something I need to do here? And then you have those on the farthest end of the spectrum who come in and they, with a Catholic understanding of things, they recognize that everything that happens in our lives has a personal impact, a personal a dimension to it. It is affecting me. It's something that is calling me to a different walk with God or a deeper walk with God. We look at the sacraments, baptism, confession, the Eucharist. These are things that happen to us immediately and directly. But they are also things that then transform us and begin to impact everyone around us and kind of all boats rising together, so to speak. Everybody is touched by our personal transformation. And so they'll come into the hospital with their various struggles and illnesses, and they recognize that this is something that God can use in their life to reach other people directly or indirectly. And so they come in preparing to take on this next journey and live this next struggle in their lives in a way that will be transformative for others as well.
Absolutely. You know, when you just hearing you talk, I was thinking about John chapter 11 and the raising of Lazarus. And, you know, one of the things that you spoke of just now, Father, and the things that are reflected that I pull away from John chapter 11 is, you know, Jesus, when he arrived seemingly late right, to do something about Lazarus being ill. He had that confidence, right, in his Father, and this really reconciles with "Thy will be done." To be able to understand that there is, you know, we think that in our own myopic view of this life, that there's things on this planet that we are so magnanimous that really are, you know, the overall purpose to our breath, to our soul's purpose and existence. And the reality is having that the spiritual guidance and nurturing from the Holy Spirit, we are opened up to a greater possibility of purpose that transcends beyond this world. So at the face of death's doorstep, which, you know, hospital care, hospital ministry, hospices, you know, all provide a window into, it is an opportunity to realize, you know, our mortality, but also to realize the possibility of our eternity in God's company. And the purpose of our mortal lives is to be able to fulfill our spiritual goals in fulfilling God's will. And I think that, you know, a lot of the things that you just mentioned kind of gave way to those thoughts. And John chapter 11, I think, you know, we see the confidence of Jesus showing up and saying, you know, everyone just, even though he did show human emotion, he did weep with confidence. He knew that, you know, Lazarus would rise again, both then and there through the miracle of coming back, but also later on, just as, you know, Mary, you know, said it as well. But going back to, you know, for our listeners and callers, we all those that are tuning in, I think, all have a calling and understanding that there is a calling for us to do God's will. Right now, we need God's Spirit to be manifested through you in picking up the phone, making a donation. This is Atlanta Catholic Radio, and in the Atlanta MSA, wherever, even beyond, because the application is available for download on mobile phones, Android and iOS, we have the ability to have great Catholic content, great, you know, formation of our faith, catechism, listen into programs that help mold both at any stage of your life, whether you're married or you're single, you're young, you're adult. And this is content that, you know, helps nurture the things that really value, right, which is the spiritual development and reconciling that to God our Father. So please, if you believe in this mission and you want to see the longevity of Catholic Radio in Atlanta, please get the dial right now. The number again, 470-508-1160. I'm joined here by Father Kevin Peake. We're going to have a great
Tony,
hour.
Tony, can I just jump in here real quick? Because
absolutely.
I was just informed that we have matching money this hour.
Yes, we do.
All right.
Meaning that if it's up to $3,000, so anybody who makes a $50 donation, well, now that's a $100 donation. $300 is now $600, and so on. So that goes on until 9 o'clock while these two gentlemen are here. So if you're thinking, I might make a donation, well, do it now.
Right, there
Let's
you go.
Take advantage of that matching
get
money.
Get on that
okay?
phone.
You
get
can do it also phone. From thequestatlanta.com and the Quest Atlanta app, which I'm sure you already have on your phone. And if you don't, it's real easy to get there. You can make the donation that way too. Tony?
Yeah, absolutely. Make your money count. $5, $50, $500. Hey, $5,000, you know, while we're at it. Mm-hmm. You know, everything goes to supporting content, licensing, you know, equipment. There's a lot of volunteers in the station. I've had the opportunity to work with a lot of great volunteers, you know, both within the station and they're dedicating their time and talent to God's kingdom, right? And
as you two are right now.
Amen to that. And through the Holy Spirit, we're here, right? We're here to be able to say yes to supporting, you know, great Catholic teachings and content. And we all need this, you know, beginning with me. So please support the station. Dial 470-508-1160. As it was mentioned, matching hours. So your dollars will go twice as far this hour because of corporate and sponsorship of additional matching. So please make your donations count. We definitely want to start off the hour with a strong strong commitment. So 470-508-1160 or visit thequestatlanta.com.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Absolutely. I'll just mention a couple people here. We've got David from Roswell, and this is actually a shout out to Mary, Peggy, and Dale, who were on the 9 o'clock hour yesterday. So anytime, I mean, even if you want to support Tony and Father Peake here,
that's right.
Well, you can do that anytime today or tomorrow as well. Also, Kelly called in with a donation as well, and we appreciate that.
Absolutely.
Very good. Well, and you know, this is a year-round thing, so even though our voices are on the mics during the radiothons, you know, we are both involved here throughout the year. The importance of having this voice in the Atlanta area is near and dear to our hearts. Tony, I'm going to use an example for a moment here, because I think one of the other aspects of this programming is education, you know, just growing and learning aspects of our faith that we may not have known before. I'm going to ask you, what is MSA? You threw that in.
I threw that. So that's Metropolitan Statistical Area. So it's the broader Atlanta area. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
I had a few thoughts go through my mind, and I thought, you know, it had something to do with the footprint of the radio station, especially when you talked about then the web being international or universal. And
right.
And but yeah, I wanted to pick that up because education, as I said, is such a part of this as well. And when we're talking about God's will, and particularly in the context of hospital ministry, there's also the question that strikes, you know, whenever we suffer, whenever we struggle, the question that strikes about how is that God's will, mm-hmm. right? How is my suffering and pain and anguish God's will?
Yeah, doesn't God love us?
That's right. That's right. And you know, that's the classic question, and books have been written on this. I think the first book that was written on this was the book of Job. Which some people argue might have been the first book written in the Bible. Obviously, Moses writes the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. But historically, they think that Job might have been one of the first books written. And so you have this perennial question about how is suffering God's will? And I'm not going to try to answer all of that this morning because it, as I said, books have been written on this. But one of the simple distilled down answers is that when we talk about personal will, our will, God's will, there are two dimensions. There is permissive will and there is active will. All right. So I can actively will something. I can get up and intervene. As a priest, I don't have kids, but you know, for those of you who do have kids, if your kids get into an argument in the living room and you're out in the kitchen, you can get up and go intervene in that argument and shut it down at actively willing the end of that discussion, debate, fight, whatever it might be at that time. But permissive will is when you're sitting out there in the kitchen and you know you have the power to get up and go in there and stop this argument. But you've done it five times already and you realize that, you know, the process of this argument might actually benefit the kids in some way, that they might actually grow. They might actually come to an understanding of each other and themselves and family life and communal life. And so you permit it to continue, even though you know you can actively get involved, because you have a higher goal. You have a higher vision and mission by allowing this argument perhaps to work its way out to its conclusion. And so that's what God has. He has an active will. And when he gets actively involved, we call that a miracle, right? Mm-hmm. When God directly intervenes into our lives in a powerful and instant, we call that a miracle. But then the permissive will is when he allows us to endure the events of our lives because he knows that there are going to be growth points that we will come through or that people around us will come through because of it.
Yeah, no, it's just listening to you say a lot of those things. I'm reconciling, you know, human will and godly will. And, you know, as you began, you know, a lot of times as humans, we want just the best things in life, right? We want to be healthy. We want to be happy. We want to be loved. We want to be fed, you know, all those things. And we never want to die. We want to live forever and be young, right? The reality is very different, you know, as we've seen over centuries. You know, obviously death is part of life. Poverty has always been, you know, by our side, and, you know, and so much more, you know. And so as we go through this life, you know, either, you know, individually or accompanied, sometimes, you know, we're well accompanied, you know, that's a blessing. Sometimes we're ill accompanied. And, you know, we ask ourselves, why me, right? As it relates to maybe, you know, our illnesses that fall upon us, or as it relates to, you know, some level of loneliness that we face in our lives, or even in our spiritual lives. There's many of us that have, you know, taken a long journey, you know, to come closer to God and to understand His divine will. But sometimes we just feel empty. Right, we feel empty. We see a lot of examples of that, you know, in with different lives of saints that we've come to understand as Catholics, and which brings up, you know, another beautiful part of the Catholic faith is to be able to see just sinners that have transcended, right, allowed God's Spirit to manifest within them, to transcend beyond their lives of sin into sanctity. And that's again, that the word there is transformative. And I think there's an invitation, you know, going back to a lot of the things that you put down, Father Peak, is to, for all the listeners at wherever stage you're at, you might be in high school, you might be, you know, in elementary school, you might be, you know, right now listening in a hospital bed. And oftentimes we try to evaluate what's going on in my life. What where did I go wrong for me to be in this situation? Mm-hmm. And the reality is there's a lot of different realities. Oftentimes we think that our situation is the core center of every situation that's possibly wrong in the universe, right? And again, that word myopic comes to mind. It's very short-sighted. Mm-hmm. And so if we fan out and look at, you know, the macro level suffering that's happening worldwide, there was just a massive, you know, Turkey or a Syrian earthquake that happened that mm-hmm. devastated so many lives, so many families. We see the war that's ongoing in the Ukraine. We see the tension in the global societies and, you know, the ongoing, you know, strife with, you know, just separation of super poor and super rich. And even in personal lives, where does this, you know, where we ask ourselves, where is God? Where is this will that we all talk about? Mm-hmm. Where is this this mercy? And so in order for those trying times to be transformative, we have to go through the cross, right, in order to get to the glory. And we mm-hmm. see that, you know, as we come closer to Holy Week, we have an opportunity to take this Lenten journey to be able to go near to the cross. I think about, you know, Jesus in the Passion of the Christ movie where he's embracing the cross, right? He's the caressing the cross. That's a transformative action in our own lives where we have some level of suffering to embrace it, and to embrace it not by ourselves, but to say, Lord, I embrace this with you. You are the one that are able to carry on all of my sufferings, all of the world's sufferings. And let me transcend through suffering, through the cross, into the glory of your resurrection. And I think that really manifests, you know, an opportunity for everyone to be able to adopt thy will be done into, you know, a core compass, a life-defining moment, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Before you jump in there, can you just hold that thought
sure.
for just a few minutes? Because we're going to take a little break here. At the bottom of the hour. And I also want to mention, too, I want to thank all the Catholic schools for the students that provided prayers to kick off each hour. We got such a great response. We're going to squeeze in one more prayer here as if it's at the beginning of the hour. But you can't have too much prayer now, can you?
That's right. And we just love hearing from the young people.
Exactly. So we're going to hear from Regina Chaley right now.
To kick off each hour of Thy Will Be Done pledge drive, we've asked the Catholic schools in the Archdiocese to say a prayer.
Hi, my name is Brandon Flamenco, and I'm a senior at Regina Chaley Academy in Roswell, Georgia. My friends and I are rehearsing for our spring play, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, coming up on May 5th, and we're excited to lead you in a prayer this hour. We'll pray a St. Michael prayer.
St. Michael, the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And to thou, Prince of the Heavenly Host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits
who prowl about the world seeking the murder of souls. Amen. We love IAM 1160 The Quest!
You're listening to AM 1160 The Quest, and this is our Spring Pledge Drive, where the theme is, Thy Will Be Done. After hearing these stories of God's will, if you're moved to donate, please call 470-508-1160. Go to our app or go to thequestatlanta.com. Remember, The Quest is 100% listener-supported, and we rely on donations from people like you to stay on the air. We'll be back to Thy Will Be Done pledge drive shortly on AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
The Quest presents The Family Room, sponsored by VerseBright.
Christine Bruce, an apostolate that she has called Praying for Our Prodigals.
A section from St. Faustina's diary where Jesus was talking to St. Faustina. You will save more souls through prayer and suffering than will a missionary through his teachings and sermons alone. So once again, it's not all necessary about the words, but through prayer and suffering.
Hear this entire conversation on The Family Room podcast at thequestatlanta.com. New episodes Wednesday mornings at 11 on AM 1160. The Quest.
In today's world, cybersecurity is critical for your business. Award-winning VerseBright provides solutions to protect your company from hackers. For protection now, see VerseBright.com. That's V-E-R-Sprite.com. The Quest thanks VerseBright for their support.
AM 1160 The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic radio, with programming rooted in the teachings of the Catholic Church, helps listeners, both Catholic and non-Catholic, learn more about our faith. People get a lot out of The Quest.
And it's so convenient because it's all on my phone through the app, and I can use it in the car or while I'm getting ready for the day. And I just like the ease and convenience of having Jesus and his church, you know, readily and accessible all throughout the day, no matter where I am.
People who speak the truth, who share the truth, and can help guide where the Lord is leading me.
And I love listening to the Angelus.
Please continue listening and supporting The Quest Radio in Atlanta. Thank you.
None of this would be possible without the support of listeners like you, because we are a 100% listener-supported station. We have expenses that need to be covered to keep The Quest on the air, so your donation of any amount helps to bring people closer to Christ. You can donate from the Quest Atlanta app or at thequestatlanta.com.
The Quest invites you to cover the bishops and priests in the Archdiocese of Atlanta in prayer. Just volunteer to commit 1 hour of prayer per week for a year. No meetings, no paperwork, no reports, just prayer. Learn more at sevensistersapostolate.org.
Thy Will Be Done Pledge Drive on AM 1160, The Quest. Make your pledge or donation by calling 470-508-1160 on our app or go to thequestatlanta.com. Now back to Thy Will Be Done Pledge Drive on AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
And I'm Dave Savage, the programming and production manager here at The Quest. And I want to mention during this pledge drive that everybody who donates money, or if for some reason you can't, we understand times are tight for some people, but if you just call in, we will be offering a novena of masses for your family members who have fallen away from the faith.
Wow.
So if you want to donate, that would be great, but if you at least just call in, you can get your name in for the for your family members who've fallen away for that novena of masses.
That is awesome, because not only are people struggling financially, there's a lot of people struggling in that department
spiritually
as well.
absolutely. So we are here with Tony
Yusita Velez.
I was gonna do it, man. Yusita Velez
took on the challenge. A for effort.
Tony UV is here with Father Kevin Peek, and the topic is hospital ministry. We're kind of getting around that as well. I mean, that's all part of it, but this is a great conversation we're having. When we left, Father, I think you were about to say something, or...
Just a couple of personal points real quick. I was at a restaurant downtown Atlanta, and I met this guy, and we got talking, and he's into cyber security stuff, and I mentioned Tony, and he goes, Tony UV? You know Tony? So, yeah, good stuff there. We just had that prayer from Regina Chaley Academy, and I had a hand in helping to start that. So a little shout out to Regina Chaley, hybrid homeschool here in Roswell. And, yeah, support that play. Get out there and see them. They're great kids doing great things. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when we talk about suffering and hospitals and enduring with God's will and facing all the challenges of our lives, especially suffering with grace and love and responding like Christ, you know, this is a personal thing in my life. Yesterday was the 7th anniversary of the death of my brother, Father Joe Peake, and he suffered with leukemia and various aspects of the treatments that he received for that. He suffered for, goodness, like 14 years, I think, from the time of his diagnosis to the time of his death. So, you know, this is something that we have personally walked as a family in many ways. And I just remember, you know, there are so many times that we drive by a hospital, you know, on our daily commutes or whatnot, and we never think about what's going on inside that building, you know, and the families and the people being impacted and, you know, the burdens that the doctors and nurses are carrying. With COVID, I think we all, you know, came to a certain reality point on that. Everybody was touched in some way by the effects of that. But to the thing that my brother and I talked about a lot was, you know, that here Joe was in the hospital for treatment over the course of a lengthy period of time, but it allowed him to minister there, right? You know, we go in as priests, maybe as lay people, we go in to minister to the sick. You know, we're there for a couple hours, maybe of a day or something like that. But Father Joe was there all day, all night, for weeks on end, and it just gave him the opportunity to witness to the doctors, to the nurses, to other patients and their families, and to many people across the church in Atlanta, as to how enduring our suffering well, you know, accepting that from God in our lives, can be transformed into a ministry and can have great impact. And you were talking earlier about the saints and some of the great witnesses over time, you know, Old Testament, New Testament even. I want to maybe dig into some of that and just see how their lives exemplify that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a good time. You know, one of the things that we wanted to do in this, the time that's left here, and I know we only have 17 minutes, but, you know, this is an opportunity really to be able to go to the Good Word and to be able to look at biblical stories that really inspire, really adopting Thy will be done into our own lives. So, you know, with that, you know, Father Peake, let's dive into some biblical examples. And, you know, for those that maybe don't have a chance or haven't had a chance to really dive into scriptural passages, I mean, the Word of God is there to nurture the Spirit. And the closer we are with God's Word, it allows, again, it allows us to be transformed, to accept Thy will be done into our own lives. But let's take a look at some biblical stories. I know you got, you know, a couple different ones to share. Let's dive in for our listeners to see what nuggets they can take away, maybe crack open, you know, the Good Book, and to be able to see how these stories inspire for this life-changing, you know, transformative. It's beyond a phrase. It's a mission, right? Thy will be done. But let's dive into some of those. What do you got there?
Yeah, so this week we're coming up on the Feast of St. Joseph, the foster father of Jesus. But it got me thinking about the original Joseph in the Old Testament and the things that he went through. You know, he was the one of the 12 brothers, the sons of Israel. And he was the favorite of his father. And in that, he incurred the wrath of his brothers. And so they sold him into slavery. I'm kind of condensing the story a lot here, but they were going to kill him originally. They were so angry at him, they were going to kill him. And then one of his brothers is like, "Ah, no, let's just sell him into slavery. You know, let's make some money for it. And, you know, why bother killing the guy?" And so they do. And so you think, you know, he goes from the hatred of his brothers. You know, how many of us have endured, you know, how many families have endured rivalries or divisions or brokenness or whatnot, and the suffering that goes along with that? Then he gets sold to slave traders, you know, how many have endured perhaps in their work, business associates and situations, feeling like they're just a slave for the corporation, or those who've actually endured, you know, perhaps being caught up in some of the human trafficking and whatnot in our world. And then he gets to Egypt, and he's starting to kind of rebuild his life, and he gets accused unjustly and thrown in jail, thrown in prison, right? And so, you know, the injustices of life, the cruelty of the way things can turn on a dime when we're accused even unjustly of something, right? So here's a guy who's suffering immensely in his life in so many ways.
Yeah, no, what happens, you know, with, that's like such a great story, is that ultimately, you know, he's given rule over the land, and there's an enormous famine that ensues, and, you know, his family, his father and his brothers that, you know, abandoned him into that cistern for left for dead and left for slavery, they're the ones that are going to receive the grunt of that famine and drought. And, you know, ultimately, as life oftentimes has many turns, twists and turns in our own lives, even today, as we all see, he is given an opportunity where his brothers come to him, or he knows of his brothers, and he covertly, you know, meets with them, and they don't know that he is, you know, Joseph, because they again thought he was dead, and the father especially loved them very much. But anyway, there's definitely the beauty, the reconciliation, right, of that family. There mm-hmm. is a salvation of that family. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so there's so many great stories, you know, there. I was thinking about, you know, Mary and Joseph, you know, the humanly father of Jesus. And I think about Thy Will Be Done, where, you know, once he learns that Mary is with child, you know, he in his own human thought is, well, I'm just going to, you know, I'm going to dip out quietly. I'm just going to, mm-hmm. you know, divorce quietly. And then, so not to create any scandalous, anything, you know, scandalous. But then an angel of the Lord appears, right? Mm-hmm. And says, hey, this is, you know, you're basically, do not go anywhere, right? We need you, you know, for this journey. We need you to be the protector. We need you to be, you know, the fatherly figure. And so he stays, right? He obeys. And this is a great example where, you know, if you look at especially that time, for him to be called to be the husband for a woman that is going to be with child, right? Very scandalous, but, you know, he was made manifested that the child was, you know, brought of through the Spirit of God, right? And so the obedience, right? And this is where the opportunity of Thy Will Be Done, to allow ourselves to surrender our humanly desires and wills, to be able to allow for God's divine will to manifest itself within our lives. But let's go to some other...
Tell you what, before we go to anything else, I just want to mention, this is the Thy Will Be Done pledge drive. That's our theme, Thy Will Be Done. That's why all the talk about Thy Will.
Amen.
So just want to mention that real quick. And I also want to mention, we have about, 11 minutes left here for the matching money. Okay,
yes.
So this is a perfect time. If you want to support the Quest, support Catholic Radio in Atlanta, it can all disappear at some point. I'm not threatening or anything. I'm just saying a reality. That's right. It, you know, but we do need support to keep this going in Atlanta. Yeah. And this is the perfect time to do it. Whatever you match right now, up to $3,000, will be matched. Whatever you donate will be matched. And you can do that by calling 470-508-1160, thequestatlanta.com. There's a little donate button on there. You can go to the Quest Atlanta app on your phone. There's a donate button there. Or do it the old-fashioned way. Just pick up the phone, 470-508-1160, for the Thy Will Be Done spring pledge drive. So, Tony, go ahead. You had a thought there.
Yeah, no, I just wanted to, you know, round out that thought. We really need your help and donation here in order to support the mission of the Quest. And if this is your first time listening, you know, check out the website, questatlanta.com, thequestatlanta.com. And if at least, you know, if you have $5, a coffee, you know, a normal morning coffee, this is a Lenten period that we're in. So it's an opportunity for sacrifices to be made. And the content, if you think about it, is nurturing in terms of the programs. I'm not saying that necessarily, like, you know, the content to today, because this is a special couple of hours or anything like that. I want to be so vain to think that, you know, we're providing, but, you know, if so, it's all through God's Spirit, of course. But overall, you know, there's great content that this radio station, we want to see grow. And we think about the content that's out there in terms of secular radio. You know, some of it might be entertaining, informative in terms of news, economic news, financial news, sports news, and things like that. All very good. But at the end of the day, what is it nurturing, right? Is it nurturing just our intellect, which is very fleeting? Or is it nurturing the soul that's going to be pervasive throughout our entire life, right? There is a life after this. And so, you know, please, we need you to be able to help fuel the souls that are listening today, the souls that do not know about the station, so that we can grow this great station and the content that it basically is providing to the Atlanta area. 470-508-1160, dollar for dollar matching right now. Please call in, dollar for dollar matching. Let's turn it back to stories of the Bible, where thy will be done is manifested. Father Kevin Peek.
Yeah, well, you were just talking about how the Lenten sacrifices can become donations to the cause here and the great things that happen here. And that you started to touch on that a little bit in the stories of the two Josephs, because, yeah, I was speaking to their suffering, but great things came of it, right? Joseph in the Old Testament, as you said, he prepared the way for his family to survive. If you dig deeper into the story, he actually helped save his brother Judah, who was not the firstborn of the family, but because of Joseph's intervention and his enduring of his suffering and whatnot, Judah becomes the leader of the family, and becomes the ancestor of Jesus, and of course Joseph, as you said, becomes the right-hand leader of the superpower of the world in Egypt. Joseph is the foster father of Jesus. He endures his suffering. You know, they have to pack up and move to Egypt and start life over down there for a while, and then pack up and move back to Nazareth. But he becomes the protector and provider of the Holy Family, and ultimately is given the title protector of the church. Some would say he's like the number two saint, but right behind Mary, in the categories of church saints. So you've got a lot. I mean, you could look at King David, when he was, you know, he was anointed king as a child, but then sent back to work with the sheep. And it's kind of like, how insulting is that, right? It's like, you know, you just got anointed king. Oh yeah, go back to the field. Then he defeats Goliath, and you know, comes into the inner circles of King Saul, but then he's exiled and hunted by King Saul, who's trying to kill him for many years. Then he finally becomes king of Hebron, but not Israel. They are not recognizing him yet. And then finally he becomes king of Israel, and he has to deal with the insurrection of his son, who's also trying to kill him. You know, and it's like, so much suffering throughout this guy's life, and yet we uphold him as this great King David, who was pursuing the heart of God and becomes the model. His kingdom becomes the model for the kingdom of Christ, who comes to, you know, usher in the kingdom of God, but builds it off the model of the kingdom of David. So, you know, great things happen. I don't want to, you know, as Catholic Christians, we're not sadomasochists. We're not into suffering just for the sake of suffering and, you know, showing how much we can endure. You know, we don't give up things for Lent just to show how tough we are. We give up things for Lent. We endure suffering. We take on suffering so that we can more unite our wills with God's will. You know, we were talking briefly offline here about the butterfly effect. I never saw the movie, but I just speak of it as a concept, right? This idea that a small thing can happen in one corner of the world, and through layers and layers of impact, it can end up changing the world, and making a huge impact somewhere else in the world. I'm reminded of a guy who started off with a true story. Guy started off with a red paper clip and was like, what can I get for this red paper clip? Right. Yeah. And then he ends up leveraging it all the way into a whole house that he ends up owning in the end, all with no money transactions, just a small impactful relationships along the way. But that's what can happen with our suffering, right? When we endure our suffering well, when we take our suffering and use it to crush our own will and elevate the will of God, and live it in that peace and joy, and humility and love, it can be like a good butterfly effect. It starts to have impact on everyone around us, and the suffering God begins to leverage then for greater good.
Yeah, no, absolutely. There's so many nuggets there that you put down that we could easily be here all day and talk about that. You know, one of the things I love about the story of David is, you know, he begins the story out of, he was the smallest of all the brothers. He was the weakest of, or seemingly the weakest of all the brothers. He rose into greatness. And then, of course, his life had many twists and turns. And I remember, I think it was a prophet Nathan that visited him and said, gave him the example of, you know, the rich man with a lot of sheep and the poor man with just one sheep. And it was such a powerful story. And it's you know, if you haven't had a chance, everyone, to be able to look at all the phenomenal, talk about accepting God's will, right? You know, oftentimes in life we say, well, if I do this, Lord, then this will happen, right? And it's like we're talking to, like, I don't know, a mortgage broker, and we're negotiating an APR rate or something. There is no negotiation. Really, true faith begins with reconciling, understanding that, you know, the first of all, knowledge and fear of the Lord, right? That worship of the Lord is good, right? And, you know, I still remember in the Mass where we say, you know, this is right and just, as, you know, as it relates to, you know, part of our worship. And it's a beautiful saying that we say every single time when we celebrate Mass. But going back to the story of David, to be able, you know, he had an epiphany when Nathan was saying, you know, there's a story of a rich man that took the poor man's one and only sheep, and he slaughtered it for his own banquet. You know, the rich man had a lot of sheep, but he didn't want to use his own stash of livestock. He wanted to use this poor man's, and there was it was a kind of a parable for David to kind of get it of how he was living his life. And then the decision came to him, like it comes to many of us in life, is to be able, what do we do with it? Right. If we understand now God's will, what are we actually going to do with this knowledge, and how do we allow it to be transformative in our own lives so it can manifest God's will? But there's a lot of, go ahead, David.
We're hours coming to an end here. I'm going to have you guys wrap it up in just a minute, but I want to thank some people here.
Sure.
I want to thank Kelly from Berkeley Lake. I want to thank Mary Ellen from Roswell. Also, Tracy, this is thanks to Dr. David Anders and Called to Communion. That's from the Christian Alphabet Lady from Peachtree City. Mary from Roswell, in honor of Paula here, also known as Miss K. She's one of the volunteers here. Sweet Apple Elementary, I believe is where Paula, I think, volunteers or works. Also, the All Saints Knights of Columbus, challenge to all councils of KFC to match or beat the donation. And also, they get a little plug in, say, come to the largest fish fry Friday at All Saints.
There you go. It is good. The clam chowder is ridiculous.
Oh, they got clam chowder,
they
huh?
do. Wow. And it's really good.
I might have to check that out. And then they also say a shout out to Father Peak.
Cool.
And also Veronica from Fort Wayne, Indiana. All right. So you were mentioning earlier, Tony, how we've got people
That's right.
from all over. We even had some foreign countries yesterday. Wow. So that was awesome, too. But real quick, I just want to mention we've got like maybe another minute for the matching funds. If you get on the line now, your donation will be matched. If you call 470-508-1160, log on to thequestatlanta.com, the Quest Atlanta app. And I just want to say one thing real quick before we wrap this up on hospital ministry. I want to give a shout out to all the priests, deacons, clergy, even the Protestant ministers, everybody who does hospital ministry. I thank you very much. My mother passed away in a hospital a few years ago, and I'm very thankful for all the people that came around and prayed Amen. With her.
and all the lay people. We got a lot of extraordinary ministers of the Eucharist to get out there and help out.
That's true. Amen. That's true. So we're about ready to wrap it up, Tony?
Sure, yeah. Let's, you know, the best way to wrap this up is maybe with your fatherly blessing, Father Peak.
Lord God, we thank you so much for all that you do in our lives. Help us to see your will in everything and the opportunities for good, for transformation that can come through every aspect of our lives if we just surrender it to you. May you bless all those who listen and bring us all to your kingdom, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.